Good morning and greetings to you all on this Lord's Day. It's good to be back with you after a few weeks away. And I would also especially extend a very warm welcome to folk visiting with us. It's always good to have others coming to join in fellowship with us. And as we would come together in the name of the Lord Jesus to worship our God. Just a couple of notices to draw to your attention. There are various things printed out for you on the service sheet, but one or two things to especially mention. All being well, the plan is this morning when we come to 11 o'clock to take a minute to remember, as the rest of the nation by and large does, a minute to remember those who have given their lives in service of the country, and to pray at that point. So we'll be working towards that, just to mention so that you'll understand again when I call for that. As far as other notices are concerned, could I just mention one that didn't make it into the prayer notes, but a matter of health. Meg's brother, Ian D. Campbell, took unwell yesterday. They don't know quite what it is, but he is in hospital in Lewis as they're checking him out. He was not feeling at all good yesterday. So if I could mention that for you, and we'll be praying for him today as well. Also, one birthday to mention, and I understand on Tuesday it's Grayson's birthday. Let's remember him as he's away from his family. 16, which is a significant age, and let's remember him on Tuesday, please. And do extend our greetings to him for the day. And may I also make a remark concerning last week and the meeting last week and the results and so forth from it. We hope to have a meeting of presbytery on Tuesday in Edinburgh when the report from John McPherson will go to the presbytery and various other items as well for our future. And I want to just say thank you for your own, as it were, vote of confidence that was reported to me. And my own response as well is that I am willing, I believe it is right that I should continue with you as far as it is possible for any of us to tell in our own day. So let's look forward to some time to come working together in this community and our communities. So asking God's blessing on our future together as well. It is in the worship of God that we are brought together. And as in the words of Psalm 105, "O give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing psalms to him, talk of all his wondrous works, glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face evermore." And our praise to him, the psalm that we begin with, is Psalm 34. We'll find it on page 40, Psalm 34, page 40, and we'll sing the verses marked 1 through to 10. "At all times I will bless the Lord. I'll praise him with my voice. Because I glory in the Lord, let troubled souls rejoice. Together let us praise the Lord. Exalt his name with me. I sought the Lord. His answer came. From fears he set me free." And so on, we'll sing through to the verse marked 10, Psalm 34. Let's stand to sing together, and we'll stay standing after that to pray.
"At all times I will bless the Lord, I'll praise him with my voice. Exalt thy glory in the Lord, thy troubled souls rejoice. Together let us praise the Lord, exalt his name with me. I saw
Pray, O Lord, because it is right that we should come to our God to seek our help, to seek that relief from every burden. Very often we go about in other ways and looking for other answers. We thank you, Lord, that you've brought us to a day that is especially yours. A day that you have called us to set apart for our good through seeking your glory, that we might be found together today, seeking to lift up your praises, to honor your name, and to know the blessings of doing so, to be brought to ourselves to think rightly on our God, on ourselves, on the world in which we live. And we pray, Lord God, that we might be renewed in our understanding, renewed in the inner man, to be set on a path that is unto life, life abundant, that life that is given over to the praises of our God through word and deed, out of the gratitude of our hearts. We are grateful, O Lord. We are thankful, though even in this we find that words are so inadequate. Yet we would return our thanks for your great and gracious gifts, the gift of a new day, the gift of opportunity to worship you, and especially that gift of your Son through whom we worship. That gift of your Son through whom the day is meaningful. That gift of your Son through whom we have a hope that is sure and steadfast. We give thanks, O Lord, that you sent your own beloved Son to be our Redeemer, the one capable of meeting your demands, your requirements, the things that are fitting for one who is all holy. But he is suitable too as a man, one of us, the Jesus who would save his people from their sins. We marvel, O Lord, that you have found this way, that you have appointed it and have accomplished it, that he should come and give himself, that he should pay the price with his own blood, that we might have that forgiveness, that by his death we might find the way open unto life, the life of the soul, life of the Spirit, life that lasts, because we can come again before our God. We thank you that we can do so this morning in his name. We pray that you would help us in all that we undertake to do in his name for your glory. We pray that this will also be a blessing and a building up for us in what lies ahead. Unknown to us, we commend ourselves into your hands. We pray now that you would receive us and enable us, continue with us according to your promises, asking all only through Christ our Lord, that in him you would both pardon and keep us from sin. Amen. We will read together this morning a confession of the faith of the Church of the Ages, in the words known as the Apostles' Creed. As I read it, and it is in the first person, do make it your own as you hear and affirm it. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. May God grant his blessing as we confess his name. And also as we turn to his word, let us open our Bibles together and reading first this morning in Exodus chapter 25. The first half of the chapter, Exodus chapter 25, as we continue our readings through the Old Testament. Exodus 25 from the beginning. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel that they bring me an offering. From everyone who gives it willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering. And this is the offering which you shall take from them: gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine linen, and goat's hair, ram skins dyed red, badger skins, and acacia wood, oil for the light, and spices for the anointing oil and for the sweet incense, onyx stones and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate. And let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them, according to all that I show you, that is, the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furnishings, just so you shall make it. And they shall make an ark of acacia wood. 2.5 cubits shall be its length, 1.5 cubits its width, and 1.5 cubits its height. And you shall overlay it with pure gold. Inside and out you shall overlay it, and shall make on it a moulding of gold all around. You shall cast 4 rings of gold for it, excuse me, and put them in its 4 corners. 2 rings shall be on one side, and 2 rings on the other side. And you shall make poles of acacia wood, and overlay them with gold. You shall put the poles into the rings on the sides of the ark, that the ark may be carried by them. The poles shall be in the rings of the ark, they shall not be taken from it. And you shall put into the ark the testimony which I give you. You shall make a mercy seat of pure gold. 2.5 cubits shall be its length, 1.5 cubits its width. And you shall make 2 cherubim of gold, of hammered work you shall make them, at the 2 ends of the mercy seat. Make one cherub at one end and the other cherub at the other end. You shall make the cherubim at the two ends of it of one piece with the mercy seat. And the cherubim shall stretch out their wings above it, covering the mercy seat with their wings, and they shall face one another. The faces of the cherubim shall be toward the mercy seat. You shall put the mercy seat on top of the ark, and in the ark you shall put the testimony that I will give you. And there I will meet with you, and I will speak with you from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubim which are on the ark of the testimony, about everything which I will give you in commandment to the children of Israel. Reading just so far this morning. Perhaps there's a couple of terms there that it would be worth just taking a moment to mention. The cubits is not a measurement we use these days, but it was usually reckoned to be the length from the tip of the fingers to the elbow of an average man, and obviously they would have some standard measurement from that, but it's about a foot and a half in length, approximately. The other thing, the cherub or the cherubim, this is known to be, a range of some kind of angel, and cherubim is simply the plural. So there are two of these angels symbolized in handwork. I think the other thing really important to mention is the mercy seat, as it is called here. The literal word is really cover, but it translates well into something like mercy seat. It's a seat because God says, that's where I will meet with you. But God can only meet with sinners because there is atonement done. There is a covering, and this is the word for cover. And it is not simply a physical cover of a box, but it also drives us to the place of reflecting on the covering of our sins so that God can meet with us and we can meet with him. And it's developed further in the special meeting of the high priest once a year at that ark in the holy place, most holy place. Just those things for the moment in that section. And again, seeking God's blessing upon it. We'll turn once more to sing together in Psalm 27 on page 32, Psalm 27, and we'll sing from verse 4 through to verse 8, five stanzas on page 32. At verse 4, one thing I'll plead before the Lord, one thing, and this I'll seek always, that I may come within God's house and dwell there all my days, that on the beauty of the Lord I constantly may gaze, and in his house may seek to know direction in his ways. One thing, let us praise our God, turning to this psalm, verses 4 to 8, and let's stand to sing together again.
One thing I plead before the Lord, and this I'll seek always, that I may come within God's house and dwell there all my days. But on the beauty of
Let us turn for our second Bible reading just at this point, and it's in the Gospel according to Mark, and chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, from reading from verse 22 through to the end of this chapter. Mark 8 at verse 22. Then Jesus came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. So he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and said, I see men like trees walking. Then he put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up, and he was restored and saw everyone clearly. Then he sent him away to his house, saying, Neither go into the town, nor tell anyone in the town. Now when Jesus and his disciples went out to the towns of Caesarea Philippi, and on the road he asked his disciples, saying to them, Who do men say that I am? So they answered, John the Baptist, but some say Elijah, and others one of the prophets. And he said to them, But who do you say that I am? Peter answered and said to him, You are the Christ. Then he strictly warned them that they should tell no one about him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He spoke this word openly. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned around and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, Get behind me, Satan, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. When he had called the people to himself, with his disciples also, he said to them, Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. And reading so far in God's word, seeking his further blessing upon it as we read together. And now is a good point, a good moment that we might, as I said earlier, to share with the many others in our nation, a point of remembering those who have fought in wars, and this particular time associated with the First World War, but also remembering those who have died in service of the country in wars since then as well. So let us stand together. We'll pause for a moment of silence, and after that remain standing as I lead in prayer. Let us stand. Lord over all this earth, the Lord who has watched on as men have fought each other in great wars of terrible destruction, where men have lost their lives, where men have given their lives. Many wars and battles are for personal interest. We thank you, Lord, for the days in the past where, when the nation entered battle, there were those who sought your strength, who sought to fight for what was right and good. And so often today, many will hear a remembrance of those who fought for freedom and the freedoms of what is right, freedom from evil. And we pray, O Lord, that there will be a true remembrance. We find ourselves, we still live in a world where so many lack freedom. There are those obvious ways in which there is injustice being done to so many around the world. But there is also that spiritual bondage, slavery, oppression. And so few, especially in our land today, seem to think of what is the great answer to this bondage, looking for it in so many other ways. And as it were, falling short of a due remembrance for those who have given their lives that we might live in a land where we are free to worship our God, a land where they gave their lives that we might have that peace that is conducive to godliness according to your word. Lord, may there be a right remembrance. We pray especially to today for those who remember particular people in their families, amongst their friends, who have given their lives. We pray for those who will be leading particular special services, and especially amongst the armed forces. This may be at this very time and in some parts of the world, or has been earlier today. We pray too for those who have still live in the body but have suffered dreadful injuries. We give thanks, Lord, for the ministry of your people. We think of Roddy McLeod particularly as he meets with folk in various places who have suffered. And we commend them to you, Lord, that they might find a way also to know peace in their hearts through the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we live in a confused world, and we pray that there will be a seeking after you, first in the church, that we will be faithful to you, the church in every form that it exists, to look unto our God and to your word, and not to go after the things of this world. We pray that we will seek out the true things that are of Christ, and that this will be a good heritage that has been gained for us. So lead us now as we would continue to seek to serve you in all things, that the glory will be yours above all, and pray that you would receive us now again granting us that cleansing of sin, that we might indeed walk freely before you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to take a moment just now speaking with the children. I don't know if Thomas would like to wait for just a moment. Just the particular timing this morning, I'm afraid. Sorry about that. And Thomas might be interested because it's not just for Thomas, but I have a suite. One suite, okay? Just one suite. Now, one suite, to carry it, I don't need a box, okay? I don't need a box. It's nice and easy to carry. It's one suite. So I can hold that and I can put it in my pocket. Okay? It's in my pocket. Now, I do have a big box here. I've tied it up so it doesn't burst open. I have a box here. And I wonder if anyone would like to say what in it. You think maybe it's, don't worry about all the stuff on it, it was a book box, but do you think it's sweets in this big box? Do you think it's full of sweets? Maybe. Well, if there were so many sweets, you need a box for it, don't you? Okay? So maybe there's a lot. Now, if I say to you, that's full of sweets, okay? Does somebody want to come and hold this sweet, take this sweet for me. It's to help me. I'm sure you would like to, wouldn't you, Thomas, yeah? Just fold it, don't go away. You need to stay there, okay? Now what if I said this box is full of sweets? And I said you can have this. What would you do with that one? You think you'd throw it away? Do you want to give it to me then, to look after it for you? And you would like to take the box, yeah? Now, I don't want you to get upset because actually that's what happens all around us. People say, look at all this stuff, it's sweets, wonderful stuff. Then you open it and you can tell everybody what's in it, okay? Sweets. You open it. Blatters. Is that sweets?
No.
No, it's not, is it? And actually, I can tell you, rather than you having to go and throw it all over the place, I can tell you there are no sweets in there. Nothing like this one. There's nothing like that in there. But people tell us that this box is full of sweets.
And they're white.
They're all white. But they're not good to eat, are they? But you threw this one away because you thought, oh, I can have a big box full. Let's close it just now so it doesn't blow away. You thought you could have all that. Put that one in. Very good. Just the one? But you said you'd throw this one away, so you don't have it anymore. Because you thought there's a big, better one there. You can have it, okay? If Mum lets you. Is that alright? At the right time. Don't have it just now. Just hold on to it. Hold on to it. Okay? So you've got a good thing there. Do you want to go back to Mum now? Yes? Thank you, Thomas. That's very helpful. Because that's what the world is like. The world says, look at everything. You look outside, there's an amazing world. We sang about it. And people say, you can have all that. But so often they say, you've got to give me that sweet. The Bible that we're reading, it talks about, it's really something like that. You have the sweet. Thomas had the sweet in his hand. He said, I'm going to throw it away because there's something I want that looks better and people say it's better. And Jesus said, don't throw the best thing. You have it. Don't throw it away. I looked after it for him. God will look after your soul for you. But he left this behind in the end, didn't he? And there's the stuff in the world, the things that are, well, really, they are empty. They're not good to live on. There's no sugar in that, not even sugar. That'll help them somewhere along the way. It's not good stuff. Not for living. Not something that you can take in, you can hold on to. It's not worth it. And that's the lesson that we're looking at today. Our lives are a bit like that. Your lives are like that. And you're going to go out tomorrow, and you're going to bump into exactly that same thing. People say, you need this, you need that, you need this, and that next thing. If you start to fill your thinking and your heart with those things, you're going to be like my good friend Thomas, who was tricked into saying, I'll throw that away. People will trick you. But you can hold on to what is good. Leave the rest behind. Leave it behind. I did start talking to everyone there, but I hope it maybe helps a little bit with the children too. Let us turn to sing now in Psalm 63. And I hope that you can see something of a pattern, but if whichever psalm we chose, you would find something very similar to this. Psalm 63 begins, O God, you are my God alone. There is no one else. Let him be your God. Psalm 63 from verse 1 through to the verse marked 8, that's five stanzas. O God, you are my God alone. I seek your face with eagerness. My soul and body thirst for you in this dry, weary wilderness. And so on through to the verse marked 8. Let's stand again to sing together.
Oh God, you are my God alone. I seek your face with eagerness. My soul and body thirst for you in this dry, weary wilderness. I seek you in your
come to your word in a moment. We give thanks for the great things that you do provide for us. Again, we acknowledge your provision in this new day, but especially now as we come to your word, that you have given us what is for life, that it is not by bread alone, it is not by material things first. These are not what are vital for us, but the deeper need that we are filled in our souls. We give thanks that your word makes that promise, that as we thirst after you in body and soul, as we seek you out, O Lord, and cling to you, that you will feed us with that richest fare. We pray that we might know a taste of it today, even in facing the challenge and the call of our Lord Jesus to follow him, though it may and often will mean discarding so much, that these things would not be prevent us, that will not fill our thoughts and our attention to the expense of the presence of our God, of your Spirit, of our Lord Jesus Christ within us. We seek your blessing in the same way upon your word in every place in this town, in the towns and places that we have come from. We pray too concerning your word in the various parts of our land and in our world. We ask, Lord, especially for in these days for the Church of England in our land, as they have had the decision made as to who will be their new archbishop and leader in the new year. There are many days to come between now and then. And we pray, Lord, that they will be very diligent to come before you in prayer and confessing you as the one whose purposes will be fulfilled, not just the plans of men. We pray for the man himself and ask, Lord, that you would set your hand firmly upon him and that he will recover again the grasp of your word and the attention to it that at times seems to have been slipping away. We pray that he too will know what it is to follow our Lord Jesus, even to the denial of self and the denial of the voices of this world around him. We ask too for various ministries that are close to us, and we think of the work that's just, as it were, beginning in London City, and commend to you the fellowship there and with their new minister and his family. We pray for those places that have said farewell to their pastors in recent weeks, in especially in places where there is little gospel ministry. And we ask, Lord, that you would grant your church great wisdom as we would seek to attend to the needs of those areas. We pray for Ian Campbell in his illness or whatever it is, and we pray for those who would be caring for him as they seek to discover what has been ailing him. And we pray for him in his own heart, that he might know peace with you, and for his family. We thank you, Lord, too, for seeing our own young Angus with us this morning, and to pray your blessing on him as he seeks to recover from the recent operation. Pray for his family as well as they care for him, and we ask too as they are still waiting for results from that, and while giving thanks for what you have overruled in thus far, we commend him to you and also those who care for him. We thank you for them and the work that they have done so far. Pray that you would uphold us each in our various needs as we go on through this time together and also in the days ahead. We pray that we would be those who are ever seeking to know how you would have us to respond to every circumstance, if we are ill or in pain, if we are limited in some way, that we would know your strength and endurance and patience through every testing, and that we would remain fast with you and seeking to be encouraged in and through Christ, who has given himself for us, that we ourselves might be strong. Hear us, O Lord, as we would commend our ways to you in him. We pray that we might know that keeping from those temptations that would draw us aside, that we would be attentive to your word, that we would be earnestly seeking that your Spirit will speak with us as we open it together. And these things we pray, Lord, and ask that you would take glory to yourself as we come only through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us turn again to the Gospel according to Mark and chapter 8. And I would especially seek to give attention this morning to Jesus' question, not just to his small group of disciples, but also to others, the people around him, in verse 36, Mark chapter 8 and verse 36. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Gains on one side, a loss on the other. What is the profit? Amongst others, but in his own inimitable style, Louis Armstrong used to sing, "What a wonderful world." And we do live in a remarkable world, don't we? This past week was one where I had myself probably a greater variety of events than I often have. And it was in the course of these, even in just this past week, that I found myself reflecting on what a remarkable world it is. Whether it's looking at the elections in the United States, an estimated population of 315 million people. Now, not all of those were voters, and those who were voters didn't all do it, but a considerable number, and how it was all organized, pulled together, and within a matter of hours, virtually, the result was known. Less prominent is the political scene in China. 1.3 billion people affected by politicians and the coordination of people to that kind of degree. I travelled a bit through the week, trains and tube, millions of people that use these facilities and out on the roads, how cars, by and large, travel well together. The vehicles, the way that they're made, the ingenuity of man, and the coordination of men. Or we can look at nature. And again, coordination, you see it even in the disease that everyone's talking about with the trees, and how it spreads so rapidly. The things that are built into this world. There's the weather, not so long ago, the great storms, the power of the elements, or the sunshine and its power, the changing of the seasons. It's a remarkable world. I'm not sure if that was quite the sense in which Louis Armstrong sang a wonderful world. It seemed to be rather whether it works for me, but regardless of that, it is a wonderful world. I took special notice of it because of the variety that I encountered myself. That's one reason, but the other reason is because the text that I was coming to does talk about our world. And it says, for this great world, if you could have it all of it, but you lose your own soul, where are you? Jesus calls us to consider your life, to consider this world and your life in this world, and to recognize, yes, major gains, and some have them. Maybe there are some of the things you've been looking for, but there is a greater loss. I want to talk to you about these things this morning. First of all, the major gains. And when I come to this, I feel a little bit like in this world, not just yourselves, but in this world, I feel a little bit like Paul when he went to Athens. And he tells those who came to hear him, he says, I've been walking around and I've see all of these gods and things, but there's one there that you have no idea about, and I'm going to tell you about him. We can look at all this world, and people know a great deal about this world, but there's something they're missing. And that's what Jesus tells us about. That's what Jesus came to talk to us and to work for us about. And that's what I would talk to you about. The one thing missing. There is one thing that people are looking for. When they're trying to gain the whole world, whether it's their own little world or the whole world, literally speaking. There is one thing that people are looking for and have not found just in this world. They don't know what it is. They don't know where it is. Maybe you're not them. Maybe you do know what this is. I think many of you do. But let's be sure. This is what the world around us needs. That does make a point that that's something that you and I, yes, you as well as I, need to take to them. If you have it. And you need to remember it, because you will go out tomorrow. You'll go out from here, even here. You will meet these things where the world is calling on you. Isn't it remarkable how just a few verses earlier, Peter was the one who confessed, "You are the Christ." But it was Peter as well who said, "You are the Christ, but you're not supposed to die. You're not supposed to go through these things." And Jesus said, "You are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." What is your mind taken up with? Where is your mind led? Are you more aware? Are you more in tune with the things of men, or the mind and the things of God? Look at the world. As I said a moment briefly, it is a wonderful world. Do look at it. Dwell on it. See it for what it is. Get your peripheral vision working. See what is around you. Consider the things that are around you. You know the saying, perhaps you get talking to someone in an airport. You've never met them before. You start to talk about things, and you find out where you've come from and so on. And then you find there is actually someone you know in common. And what do you say? Most people say, "It's a small world, isn't it?" Why do we say that? It's because something has fitted into what I'm capable of thinking of. But it is not a small world by any stretch, even of the imagination. It's a vast world. It's an incredible world. You just need to go down to the seaside and reflect on that. Yes, you can pick up a handful of water, that's the sea. But you can't see the end of it over the horizon. Consider, do some thinking. Dwell on what an amazing world it is. As a rule, it is better to go with Psalm 8, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him?" But think of those things, and so that you grasp all the better just what Jesus is saying in this verse, this text. Look at how grand the world truly is. And he says, you can have all that, but you still operate at a loss if you've lost your own soul. The great box full of things that the world says are precious, and you've thrown that sweet away that really is useful. Look at the world. It's far beyond our grasp. What do 1.3 billion people look like? What about these birds that are going about at the moment in their migrations? How do they do that? Twice a year, there and back. How do the trees and the plants know that winter is coming? And what about the sun that rises? You know how people are amazed at the Japanese bullet train and the Swiss public transport system that operates to the minute. The sun rises impeccably precisely every day. It can be predicted years ahead. People know it will rise then. What a grand universe we live in. Now, some people would turn to what Jesus had to say and they say, well, isn't he just talking about the possible range of wealth that a man might gain when it uses words like profit and gain and loss? Why limit his thought? He says you can gain the whole world. Doesn't he mean the whole world? There's no reason to limit Jesus' thought here. Think of that. You can have all that, he's saying. Think of that. I'm not saying, and Jesus does not say, that there's any reason to reject the things of this world. It was Paul who wrote to Timothy and said, God gives us richly all things to enjoy. They're God's gift to us. Whether it be the sun or the storm, it's God's gift. The things of this world are good of themselves. Any of them may be gain. He uses that term. May be gain. But you have to set it off against the other side. They may be gain provided they are used wisely, appropriately. They are to be enjoyed, but not to be the foundation of life. You know, sometimes people ask an interview question, they say, now what, hypothetically, what would it be like if you could have rule the world for a day? What would you do? How would it be if you could get everything you ever wanted? Maybe you say your wants are small. What would it be like if you did have these things, if you could get them? Where would your heart be turned? If that's what you're after, your heart will be turned to the things of men. You'll be turned to the things that are given. You'll say, now I'm satisfied. Or maybe you'll say, I'm not satisfied, I want more. So often that is the way. Your heart will be focused on the things given, not the giver. How can those things fulfill you? Everything in this world is wearing out from the moment it is born, the moment it is made. How can these things fulfill a man who has immortality in his soul? Can you put your hopes in these things? It may be something you can touch, something of substance, or it may be a career, or it may be education and knowledge. It may be fame or success or applause. These are the things that the world is looking for. But the world says, look at this great box that I have, full of things. But what's that based on? What's fame based on? Even if it's earned, so-called. I wonder how many years it will take before the name Felix Baumgartner is forgotten, except in the Guinness Book of Records. Even freedom. Remembrance Day remembers fine work that has been done in the name of king, queen, and country. But still, the people of our country, so many have that undefined sense of not being free, still needing something to be satisfied. So for all this great world, glorious world that we may have, that we may enjoy, we should enjoy. It is God's word that we are to enjoy the good things. But in the right way, the danger is that our attention is given to these things at the loss of our soul, this is a greater loss. You can have this whole world, lose your soul, and you operate at a loss. You can see all those things yourself that are spoken of. You can see our world. The people all around you, they think you need them, all these things. They think that these are the solutions to the needs of man. There are those who've done studies and they've produced papers and they've listed the needs of man, and they talk about a hierarchy, a scale of needs, and you've got to start with basic food and provisions. I'm telling you, one that they put last or very late in the list is truly the heart of the matter. It's your heart. Is your heart filled with good things? Come and see the other part of life, not the things that can be just the things of men or the things of this world. The other part, the real root of life. You can't be without this. When Paul said, God gives us richly all things to enjoy, it follows on from something else. He had been saying, command those who are rich in this present age not to be proud, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Perhaps you've read stories or heard stories of men or women who give their lives to their career. They wake up one morning and the family is gone. Or there are those who are devoted to a company. I just read yesterday of somebody who was high up in a big company, and next thing, the company went broke and he was lost. There are young folk who reject everything that their parents have ever said to them. And then when they really find they're in need, there's no one to help them. Hold on to the things that last, the things that are of real value. Don't throw it away. Most will tell you it's just a little thing, but it's not to be thrown away. Hold on to it. There is only one that lasts, and that is God Himself. That's what is good for your soul. Now, a soul is something that is very difficult to define in the kinds of words and terms that we're used to. But it is what rules your life. It is what gives you direction. It's your heart. It's your spirit. It's what's deep within. It's not just instinct. It's not just intellect. It's not just your mind thinking through things. Far less is it just your emotions and your feelings. It's not even will, as in willpower. Not just your attitudes. It's all these things together in combination. Your soul is your life. But you're not just an animal. Part of God's creation. But not just an animal. You're a living soul. God breathed His Spirit into the first man to make him a living soul. So the soul continues at the death of the body. But the question is, where does it continue? Are you prepared to lose it? Is this really what you are prepared to let go so that you can have the other things? Jesus elaborates into verse 37, what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Look at it that way. You have your soul. What's it worth? Man is made for God. Our souls die without Him. Putting other things first means that our souls and our hearts and our lives are our preoccupations, are filling with other things, preventing Him from entering and living in us. Lose all those other things, as in verse 35. whoever loses his life, those kinds of things, for my sake and the gospel's, will save it. I think there are a couple of very simple examples in the Bible that make this point. There is the first I would mention is when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness after his baptism. And we read an account where there are three particular ways in which Satan tempts him. And the first is where Satan says, look at that stone, and perhaps it looked like one of the traditional loaves of bread. See that stone? You've spent 40 days and 40 nights without eating anything. You can eat that. You can make that into bread and eat it. You can do it. Jesus said, man will not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. He rejected that opportunity that was laid in front of him, just as this world will put things in front of you and say, come on, it's a good thing. Can't you do it? Can't you have it? But Jesus said, this is not the time. This is not appropriate. Just to satisfy even that what men say is the most basic need. Satan was effectively saying to him, surely what you need most is food. Jesus said, no, what I need most is God's word and to obey it. Satan tempted Eve. And really the heart of his temptation was, look at that fruit. Think of what it can do for you. It can make you into something great. As compared with Jesus, Eve gave in. And what happened? She lost close fellowship with God. Jesus resisted using God's own word for God's sake. He kept himself in fellowship with the Father. He kept his soul true to God. He kept his soul alive. Just a loaf of bread, what's the bother? Just a piece of fruit, what's the bother? But what's it for? Who is it for? To satisfy your cravings? But what has God said? As you look on the world that you meet day by day, how do you look on it? How do you need to look on it? How do you think about it? Think about it as a truly marvelous world. Don't forget that. Practice. Practice going out at night. There was an incredible sky last night with the stars. What is man? But God is mindful of you. God has sent his Son for you. That's the things of God. Amazing world, so much to enjoy. But there is a greater joy, because you don't just have to make do with this world. You can have its maker for the life of your soul, your soul. I just want to ask you to think about these words. What will it profit, put your name in there, if I gain the whole world but lose my own soul? What will I give in exchange for my soul? Don't give anything. I warn you, don't give anything. Put it in a safe place. Let the Lord himself, the Almighty, take a hold of it. Hold it for you. Keep you safe. So that when you go out and you approach those things today, tomorrow, ask yourself first, how will this be good for my soul? How will this advance my relationship with God? How can I use, yes, this good thing to enjoy? How can I take this? And if I can't, let me not take it. But let it be something that advances my relationship with my God. Build up yourself. Nurture that relationship. If you don't trust in Jesus yet, what hope do you have for your soul? For your life. If you do trust in him, or you say you trust in him, Make sure that your life objectives are not mixed. Do examine your heart. In what ways have you slipped back to thinking on the things of men? The things that the world around you says are important, but that's their word. What about God's word? That world around you is yet ruled by Satan. He couldn't turn Jesus aside, but he's trying everything every day to turn you aside. This question still applies to you. Satan, by his own standards, he can do very well just by offering you bread. In a way, he will say, there are good things to enjoy. Paul is saying, don't trust in them. Put your trust in the God who gives them. God's word says something different. God's word says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Is it hard to keep these things up, to retain these things, to work them through? I would strongly recommend that you, if you learn nothing else, learn those words. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Have those in your pocket, in your heart, at the front of your mind, every day. Know that that's an assurance that whatever else you need will be given to you. But put your heart upon the Lord. Do not lose your soul to the things of men. Even if you could have this whole world. Learn these words. Use these as your measure of all things. Yes, it is a wonderful world. Absolutely magnificent. Full of riches. Not just money, but riches. But there is a better place to come if you have not lost your soul, if you do hold on to Christ. There's no conclusion to that. You need to take it. I do too. It is the most important thing. It's what I want for you, because Christ wants that for you. Please take it. Please take it out there. What will it profit you to get everything if you lose your soul? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Let us seek God's blessing, that his word be dear to our hearts today. Let us pray together. Lord, where there is confusion within, grant your peace, we pray. Grant your presence for that peace. Where there is that urgency, ever seeking, grant that we might find. Where there is an unhelpful peace, stir us up. We will look to the things that are vital, the necessary things for our souls, for true life. And I pray, Lord God, that your kingdom in Christ Jesus will be all the more dear to us and will be that light that we pursue through every moment of every day, that we will have hope secured in him, that we may be where he is. And even with great glory. Watch over each of us in those demands that come before us, the temptations that we face. Pray that we would not walk into it, into temptation, but resist the evil one, and finding your grace. So we humble ourselves before you. It is humbling, O Lord, that you should choose to give yourself to us, to me. But yet you have done so. May we be those who do truly give ourselves to you. Not ashamed of you in this generation. May I know your own pleasure as you return to us in the day appointed. For your glory, for the sake of our Lord Jesus, we pray that you would continue to hear us through his giving of himself, pardoning sin. Amen. Let's now close by singing together in Psalm 108 on page 146. Psalm 108, page 146, and we'll sing the first four stanzas, the verses marked 1 through to 5. O Lord God, my heart is steadfast, and with all my soul I'll sing. Harp and lyre I will awaken, and my song the dawn will bring. Lord my God, among the nations I will ever give you praise. In the midst of all the peoples I will sing of you always. To verse 5. Standing to sing, and we'll stay standing for the benediction after that.
O Lord God, my heart is steadfast, and with all my soul I sing. Harp and lyre I will now awaken, and my song the dawn will bring. Lord, my God,
Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.